Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Welcome to the Tech Central podcast. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm very pleased to be here today with Brian Andrew, who's General Manager of RS Components. We're sitting right on the Kyalami racetrack, actually. It's quite a view from your office here.
Oh, no, it's a great view. To be honest, I'm not much of a racing fan myself, but the view is fantastic.
So your location here is purely coincidental?
Yeah, we've been in these premises, literally, 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so this was one of the first buildings as part of the Kyalami Business Park. So
yeah.
The building and the presence here predates my being with the company.
You can't have been too much around here 20 years ago. I mean,
the track was here, yeah. Obviously, but certainly in terms of other buildings in the business park, there weren't many buildings around at that stage.
Yeah, interesting. So I want to talk a bit about, we're going to talk about the Raspberry Pi today, but before we get to that, I want to talk a bit about RS Components. It's a name I see around quite a bit, and I think I'm not the only one who's seen your name, but probably doesn't have a very good understanding of what it is exactly that you do. I had a look at your website this morning, and you represent a whole lot of brands. You play in the engineering space, amongst others, in the computing space. You seem to have quite a broad selection of products that you offer to the market. But just tell me a bit about RS Components. When were you founded? What's the history of the business, and what's your primary focus today?
Well, RS Components, we're part of an international company. We listed on the London Stock Exchange as Electro Components, and the business has been going since 1937, actually.
Oh,
this
boy.
Will be our 80th year as a business.
Good grief.
In terms of South Africa, this is our 21st year in terms of being present in South Africa. It's a great business. The main focus for us is really about supplying into the business or industry. We're a business-to-business supplier.
Oh, yeah.
Cutting across 2,500 global leading brands and 500,000 individual products.
So are you a distributor? How would you describe yourselves?
We traditionally known as what's called a high service level catalog distributor.
Okay.
Now, if one goes back to the old traditional paper catalogs, that's how we started off. And that's how the business was actually founded, with by two guys had a one-page catalog, and they used to distribute Radio Spares, which is basically the name of the company those days.
Oh, right.
It then evolved to RS. It's obviously been RS since then. So basically, it was a catalog distribution in terms of we would provide a catalog of industrial product, supply those catalogs to our customers, and make it very convenient for them to find the product that they're looking for, place an order, and get it delivered.
Okay.
Obviously, with the advent of e-commerce and the web, that is now transferred predominantly online.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely a internet or a web-based distributor now. We did our last paper catalog must really around 2009, 2010 in the South African market, and have been focused predominantly on e-commerce since then. And as a group globally, we get around, I think it's about 65% of our turnover comes through the web.
Wow.
And that's for a £1.2 billion business globally.
Wow.
So, and in the South African context, we're pretty much up there as well in terms of our share through the web, which in itself is actually quite amazing for the South African environment, and specifically because it's in the B2B market.
Mm.
You know, most people sort of think that companies don't allow their staff to place orders online, but we're actually seeing a massive uptake and massive growth in terms of actually providing that service.
That's interesting. What about retail consumers? A lot of retail consumers are interested in products like the Raspberry Pi. Do you service that market at all?
Yeah, we do service it. Look, it's not our primary market, but we don't prevent anybody from trading with us.
Mm-hmm.
Very convenient. Basically, find a product online, you can pay with your credit card, and we deliver.
Okay. So what are some of the brands? We're obviously going to be talking about Raspberry Pi today, but what are some of the other brands that you represent here?
Well, it's mainly the industrial brands. So if one's looking at things like test and measurement, it would be Fluke, Fleur, And then we do things like Siemens, Schneider, Phoenix Contact. There's, like I said, 2,500 of them. Yeah. Most people that are in the sort of either your electronic, electrical, or within the maintenance spaces would recognize those brands.
Okay. So who is your primary customer? Is it, I presume it's a wide range of types of customers, but who would a typical customer be?
In fact, anybody that's in industry. Hmm. So pretty much we supply into manufacturing, which would mostly be our predominant market,
right?
But into power, into mining, even into services. Hmm. We even have auditing firms buying product from us because we do things like light bulbs even, LEDs, energy efficient lighting, that right. type of thing. So it really, really cuts across multiple categories or technologies from test and measurement through to health and safety to computing. It's just an absolutely massive range.
Hmm. Interesting. But we're going to talk about Raspberry Pi today, and specifically the Raspberry Pi Compute Model 3, which was launched internationally. It was last month, right?
That's right, yeah.
So it's brand new. Now, let's just go back a step. You guys have been representing Raspberry Pi products for a number of years now. If I'm not mistaken, you actually brought the product first into South Africa, and you continue to represent the Raspberry Pi product range in South Africa. When did you first start selling it here, and how has it performed, and what are people using it for?
The original Raspberry Pi, the very, very first computer that was launched in 2012 on the 29th of February.
That was the international launch?
International launch, which was done, it was a global launch.
Yeah.
So from that date, we had availability in terms of being able to sell it. It was quite a challenging time, actually, because the Raspberry Pi Foundation at that stage expected to sell only about 10,000 boards. And literally, there was orders for about 100,000 on the first day from a global perspective. it was beyond everybody's expectations in terms of the uptake and the demand for the board to the extent that, our websites were sort of certainly having a bit of a challenge under the strain. And since then, going through to last year, September, in excess of 10 million pies have been sold globally.
Wow.
So, and most of those were sold, well, not most of them, but certainly the most successful pie has been the most recent one, which was launched last year, which is the Pi 3. Now, the Raspberry Pi in itself was developed specifically to try and create an interest in computing and computer science. And that's why the founders actually developed the board, to have an entry-level computer that was sort of the equivalent of your old Sinclair ZX Spectrums that kids used to mess around with and learn to program, in the living room at home.
Yes.
And basically what they tried to do was sort of rekindle that, because what they were finding was that there were fewer and fewer people coming to study computer science that actually had any sort of real experience as such in computer programming, versus the days of the Sinclair ZX Spectrums, where kids were coming to study, but they already had a significant level of programming experience.
Okay, so when did you start selling the Raspberry Pi in South Africa?
In 2012, when it was launched.
And were you selling mainly for educational purposes, or were you finding it was enthusiasts buying the device?
What
was
mainly enthusiasts. So right. It was mainly people that were obviously interested in computing, that had heard about it, that really were the first ones that started buying it. What we have found over the period, though, is that we've mostly had about 75% of the sales of the boards have actually gone into business.
Right.
And what they're using them for is to actually either develop new products, or where they're replacing, for instance, a fully-fledged PC with the Raspberry Pi at a much better price point, but as actually just as capable for the applications that they were using them for.
Okay. So what are some of those applications?
Well, an example would be your in-house TV displays. So for instance, or even on your forecourts and that type of thing, where you've got these TV displays that are generally run off a PC. So now you can actually throw the PC out, put a Raspberry Pi in place at significantly cheaper cost, and run your displays off those. And this is where it's evolved now in terms of the compute module. And where the compute module really starts to actually come into play as well.
Okay, we'll get to that in a moment. But I mean, I know a lot of people who've bought these things and they've all, without exception, used them to set up home media servers. Is that a very common application for this as well?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think that's sort of been the primary one. I remember in the early days, we had a lot of interest from people wanting to actually buy significant numbers because they had designed the media center that they would then sell because it was going to be a very cheap way of doing it. I think the thing that they forgot about that, well, if they can do it that easily, so can anybody else with a little bit of research online. And you could actually, without having major computing skills, you could actually build your own sort of media center at home.
And I guess that really appealed to the enthusiast market. You know, here's a little box. Internet TV is arriving. We need a computer connected to the TV. Do we go and buy a Windows PC or do we go for something cheap and actually something we can have a bit of fun with at the same time? And that's what they're doing, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's exactly it. I think that... maybe the little bit of the disappointing thing for me was, though, that wasn't the primary sort of goal of the Raspberry Pi, and it was really about the education aspect.
And that's
something I'd really like to see still being promoted more, is in terms of the educational aspects of the Raspberry Pi.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. I mean, have there been any educational applications in the South African market that you're aware of? Have any schools been using this in universities?
Yeah, some schools have been using it. But again, it's not, because it's not really part of the curriculum, it's generally more your sort of coding clubs and that type of thing that are utilizing them outside of the school curriculum. And certainly that's from a South African perspective. In the UK, it's completely different. I mean, there it's now integrated into the curriculum and they utilize it for projects. And I would certainly love to see something like that happening in the South African environment.
Have you had any discussions with the Department of Education?
Informal discussions. I think the challenge really is trying to get the willingness to want to incorporate it into curriculum, and that's a huge challenge. I mean, we know there's a lot of challenges with education currently in South Africa, and I don't think this is seen as sort of a high priority at this point in time.
Okay,
I think there's also a fear. I think in terms of who's going to teach people how to use it. And what I like about the Raspberry Pi in terms of that is it's actually you don't really need somebody to teach it. You basically teach yourself as long as you've got somebody just to help you with resources and facilitate
it. I was about to say, you give it to the kids and they'll figure it out, right?
No, definitely. And I mean, there's a huge amount of resource online in terms of being able to download software and programs and training material. And that's freely available, which is massive, yeah. Mm.
Interesting. Right, we're here to talk today about the Raspberry Pi 3 compute model. Tell me a bit about it. This is going to have more industrial applications, you believe, more application, I guess, in the Internet of Things. What's different about the compute model 3 compared to the other Raspberry Pi models, and why do you think it's particularly suited for that enterprise or industry application?
Well, the compute models is very much designed for industry application. So basically what it's about is, what we do have at the moment is you've got a lot of guys who would buy the sort of traditional Raspberry Pi and then build that into a product. What you're looking at with the compute module is the form factor is different. It's a much smaller form factor. It basically uses the SODIMM module form factor, so it can slot into any other board that you're designing. Also, in terms of where the Raspberry Pi 3, for instance, comes with onboard Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, and so on, this module doesn't, because depending on what you're wanting to do with your application, you might want to add that on if you wanted to. But if you don't need it, why have the technology there if you're not going to actually utilize it? But it's very much more focused at sort of your embedded systems designers that are looking for sort of that computer functionality without having to design anything from scratch. So it's literally just plug it in. You've got the programming environment that you can then utilize and then build the rest of your hardware around that. Recently we've just seen NEC, the computer company, with their displays, their industrial displays, that have now actually got slots for specifically the Raspberry Pi compute module, which allows their customers basically a larger range in terms of platform, in terms of development for their displays that are used in commercial applications.
So, I mean, maybe give us some examples of some of those applications that might be used. I'm guessing the I mean, it's really as long as a piece of string, what you can do with this thing. But what have people actually, I mean, previous versions of this product, what have they been used it to do?
Previous versions, I know it has been generally used more in the sort of display environment. Mm-hmm. Certainly the uptake in South Africa hasn't been that significant in terms of even the previous models. Globally, the other ones are generally more used, like I said, with the likes of NEC that are using them. There are a couple of other companies. I'm not going to mention names. But where they are designing them into products where, for instance, they were either using some sort of PC platform or they were having to actually design the modules themselves, that are just now taking this module, which is significantly cheaper, and they've got a starting point to be able to develop anything around it. And really, the sky's the limit. I mean, what you've got is you've got a functioning PC in a very small form factor that you can then build anything around it, whether it's around robotics or, again, sky's the limit.
So I'm guessing these units would typically be deployed running a version of Linux on them. I know that Microsoft announced some months ago that Windows 10 is coming or has already come to Raspberry Pi devices. Does that include the Compute Model 3?
Yeah, it's the Windows 10 IoT. Mm-hmm. So it's not a fully functioning Windows 10 that you would see on a standard, you know, Windows PC, but it's specifically the IoT version.
So a stripped-down version of Windows.
Yeah, well, basically, specifically for the Internet of Things in terms of connectivity and that. Mm. In terms of the, I would need to actually just confirm in terms of whether that is available on the Compute model, but it's definitely available on the Pi 3.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure that, I know that most of the Linux versions that are available on the Pi 3 are also available for the for the Compute module.
We hear a lot about IoT, the Internet of Things. How should companies be approaching this? I mean, we hear a lot of talk about smart cities, for example. Would a device like the Compute Model 3, for example, be suitable for deploying as a city smart infrastructure in devices like traffic lights and that sort of thing? Or is it more suited to other industrial type of applications? Just trying to get an understanding of where you would actually put one of these things.
Yeah, difficult question. My background, I'm not a technical person, so I come from a finance background.
Sure.
But certainly, the one of the applications that I definitely see this that could be used in would be in home automation, for instance, because basically, again, you've got your development environment. Running Linux or running Python on it, you would be able to program it to be able to do exactly what a Raspberry Pi 3 would be able to do. So you can utilize it for that. Again, the compute model would be more for where you actually want to produce things on scale and building it into products that you're actually going to be selling versus the Pi 3 might be a bit overkill in terms of actually doing that.
Okay.
When it comes to smart cities, yeah, I think it would. I think the compute model in itself is a very robust piece of equipment. So there's no reason why it wouldn't be utilized in that type of environment.
Okay. Now, you're the official distributor for Raspberry Pi products in South Africa, is that correct?
Yeah, basically, we actually manufacture under license to the Raspberry Pi Foundation.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. So basically, the Raspberry Pi Foundation doesn't actually manufacture it themselves. So we actually subcontract that manufacturing out and manufacture under license to them.
Oh, I see. And where are the boards made? In China? Or
UK and Japan.
UK and Japan?
Yeah, UK and Japan.
It's very unusual. You always think China when you hear
it. Yeah, I'm not too sure if we have actually produced in China.
Okay.
I know the production has moved around a bit. But there was a big focus in terms of getting the production into the UK, being a UK-designed product and also then manufactured in the UK. But we have also shifted production out into Japan as well.
Okay, does it make any sense? I don't know if this is a question that makes sense. But I mean, would there be any sense in looking at potentially making these products here in South Africa? We've got a nascent electronics manufacturing industry, particularly with the digital set-top box migration project. We've got a couple of companies like Lerit Dema and CZ Electronics, amongst others. That are building set-top boxes locally. Is there an opportunity potentially, do you think, to make boxes like this here?
Ah, yeah. I would love to be doing that, to be honest with you. I think it's something that I think is an opportunity, but what we'd need to do is make sure that we've established the demand, certainly in the South African, or certainly in terms of the rest of Africa. Mm. Again, it does come down to economies of scale in terms of the production costs. So if we could hit that sort of economies of scale, it's something that we could definitely consider, and certainly something I would like to take forward and investigate within our business. But at this point in time, well, it has to make economic sense ultimately.
It doesn't have scale yet.
Yeah.
You spoke about the rest of Africa. Do you also distribute this product elsewhere in Africa?
Yes, we do. So basically, the South African operation, we're responsible for the whole of Southern Africa, so basically south of the equator. Although within the division that I operate in, the emerging markets division, so we generally got responsibility there for the whole of Africa.
Okay. And how much demand have you seen outside of South Africa's borders?
Majority of our demand has been in South Africa. Mm-hmm. Certainly one of the other markets, which I think in some ways, although not necessarily from a demand perspective, but certainly from an uptake and interest perspective, has been in Kenya.
Oh, yeah.
They've got quite a flourishing sort of community there around electronics and electronic design, computing and so on. And they've actually run something that I've been wanting to try get together here is a Raspberry Pi Jam, which is basically just getting a whole lot of enthusiasts together to come and showcase what they're doing with the product. Now they've done a couple of those in Kenya already.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do it. Let's do it.
Oh, definitely. I'd like to get the founder, Eben Upton, who's one of the founders of Raspberry Pi Foundation, and we have been engaging to try and get him down here to come and do something like that with us.
Oh, that'd be great. Well, let me know if you want to get it together. Tech Central would love to be involved in that. Just tell me a bit about, as an ordinary consumer, and I know we're going to have people listening to this podcast thinking, you know, I really want to tinker with this device, whether it's the compute model, which is more for industry. I guess ordinary consumers would be looking more for the Raspberry Pi Model 3. Mm. If they want to get the hold of that, can they get that through a retail channel? Can they come and buy that from you? Where would they go?
You can currently get it on Takealot. So we are selling through Takealot.
Okay.
Or you can come through our website. And the nice thing is for guys that are maybe a bit wary of it, because buying the Raspberry Pi 3 just in itself, you're literally just buying the computer board.
Mm.
So and that becomes a bit daunting for some people, but we do have starter kits as well.
Oh, yes.
So we've got a couple of starter kits, one of them also being basically Raspberry Pi for Dummies. So it comes with the Raspberry Pi for Dummies book with the keyboard, but with the sort of basic starter stuff that you would actually need to get the thing working.
Excellent. Brian, thank you so much for your time this morning on the Tech Central podcast. We appreciate it.
Right. Thank you for having me.